Welcome back, everyone, to episode 2. Pleased you enjoyed the first one enough to come back for more. This one's a shorter one than our first introductory Big Bang. And it's more of a focus on the actual journey itself. The clients, the teams, the brighter and the darker moments. So I'm actually going to start on a really positive note and ask the big question, kind of what's been your absolute proudest moment of your time from that very first conversational meet till today?
I've got one I can talk about, Emma, which is, it's Matt here, which is my proudest moment or best moment, I think, was when we won the Best Place to Work competition. We came first in it. It was sponsored by the Financial Times. I can't quite remember the year. It's way back. It's something like 2003, 2004, something like that. And Sally Ann had written the application. I think she'd handwritten the application in. And she'd sent it in, and I remember getting a call in the afternoon from the organizers saying, are you and your team coming to the award ceremony? And I thought, that's funny. Nice of them, nice customer service, but a bit funny. And then they did this sort of countdown, you know, when they go from like 10th best company to work for all the way down to, you know, and I thought, two things. One is a bit depressing that we weren't even in the top 10, but then it got to 2 and then they announced our name, and it was an astonishing moment of euphoria, and so many people had obviously contributed as they contribute now to that. And I suppose it was my best moment. There was a bit of personal pride in, you know, obviously starting the business and feeling like it had meant something, but I just felt so proud for all of us, and I felt so proud that all of us could go home and, as people did, tell their mums and dads, and as they do now when we achieve great things, tell their mums and dads and kids and brothers and sisters or whoever will listen to them about great things they've done at What If. And one of the things I've found over the years is the amount of my friends who are kind of a bit envious of my job. And do you know what? I actually tone it down. I don't actually tell people the truth sometimes about what I do, because it's too frigging good. It just drive everybody mental if people actually knew how great my job was. So that was a great moment. That was
lovely. I mean, I think I think a lot of what ifers have actually read the article that came out of that, and I'll send it round to the Happen crew as well, because I think a lot of the tenants, to be honest, for why we won back then still hold true and are things that I hold really dear about our business going forward. Thank you, Matt.
So shall I follow that just to finish the what if story? So I probably would have agreed with Matt, but as I can't, I would say it was the moment I was sat in a cage in New York. So we had thought about whether What If could go abroad or not for quite a long time. And in the end, through sort of brilliant persuasion, basically showing a picture of a brownstone house and saying to us, Dave and Matt, imagine sitting on that step in front of that brownstone with a beer. You know, Nina and Meldrum had persuaded us to go to New York and to start in New York. And we went, and they were literally living in the office. It was a shared office space, but it was basically like a warehouse where you stored packages. And in the middle of it, there was this cage which had like a desk and a half in, and Nina and Meldrum sort of. And this was sort of What If 2.0 New York. And they sort of, we met them there, we said, and then Matt and I had to go out for breakfast, where we went to this nice restaurant called Balthazar, where we met this woman who was full of life, and she was called Nina Paul. And she was just this larger than life sort of person who had sort of appeared in our lives. And we'd been very lucky in that Sal had joined us, thanks to Sarah in the UK. But suddenly you looked at Nina and Meldrum, who were great, and you're adding in this new person, Nina, because it was sort of the final yes for a job interview. And suddenly you realized that we'd replicated. We were like an amoeba. You know, we'd gone from one cell to two cells. And it was at that moment I remember thinking, wow, it's not about us anymore at all. This is about, we've created something which has its own life, which is its own thing, where we've been lucky enough to start it and instill in it some values and a sense of purpose and direction. But actually, it's not ours anymore. It's this new group of people. And, you know, I feel the same when I then went to Shanghai and saw sort of Shanghai for the first time. It's like, it's this magical moment. I'm so proud that What If isn't Matt and Dave. I feel really lucky to have started it, but I feel even better that all these amazing people have joined us and have made it their own as well. And I think we're a much better company for it. So that's what really gives me a buzz, is that sense of it's our joint future rather than Matt and Dave's future, and that people have made it better, more special, more incredible. And at the heart of all that has been the friendships that we've all felt at our work. So I'd say that makes me proud.
Yeah, that's lovely. And that's something I feel really strongly from both of you, and from Sal, obviously leading the UK London business, which is a real sense of not being precious, here to support, here to inspire, but actually kind of really believing in the next generation of the company now to take it forward. And I think that's kind of why I wanted to do this, because I think sometimes you hear people talk about founders as in, like, you know, oh, the founders, they have these old ways of doing things. And I really feel with all What If you two and Matt, and having spent more time with the Happen founders, actually, that we can really use you all as springboards in a really positive way, as we know we have to pivot and change and build this new chapter and era going forward. So thank you for that. Happen. Team.
Well, I love how Matt and Dave framed that, because it is indeed probably the biggest pride. If I look at even just the word pride and being proud of something, how that's evolved over the past, well, actually, basically ever since I started showing drawings to my grandmother to just have her say, ooh, that looks nice, making me feel proud. In a way, it's gone from a career in design and engineering then through to indeed joining, say, Mark and Dr. D to set up Happen, where you're basically just being proud about what you're achieving, which at first is doing great work, then coding that work into methodology and seeing other people run with that methodology and build on it and deliver through it, through being proud of the brand, through being proud of the team, and even being proud of stuff you don't have any personal involvement in whatsoever, because you know you've been part of the journey that led to it. I'm still proud. I'm proud almost every day, if not every day. Even just walking through the supermarket and realizing that actually there's quite a few products here that I know the history of, and it's probably not what people think. It just makes me feel good. It's a very egoistic thing, maybe, but definitely share a lot of that picture. And I think it's very much in line with the What If pride in that sense.
Kostas, what's your one product on the supermarket shelves that is you most burst with pride around?
Oh, I can't choose between my children. I'm not giving you an answer to that. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. One day I'll find out when we get to the supermarket together. All right. Certainly, last but not least, Mark.
So I guess I was struck by two things. I mean, that Matt talked about an award, and we won an award recently, which was great. We won the Grocer Award, which is for Star Maker, which we really shouldn't have been anywhere near winning, which it's like, you know, I was sat in a DJ, yeah, same experience of sort of thinking, you know, by this stage, you know, you're way down the list, it was sort of technology supplier, which we were obviously were a technology supplier, but we kind of got in through the back door, and award ceremonies, if you've ever had the experience of going to them, they're, you know, by the time you get to the lower end, most people are drunk. So, you know, so you're getting to the end of the list on the awards. And winning that was a big surprise and a source of great pride. But I think actually combine that, if I can have two, please, combine something that Dave said. There have been a lot of brilliant people who have come through. We had an orange door over the years, who've gone on to brilliant careers, not in Happen, not necessarily in innovation, but have just gone on to do great things that they're really proud of. And I think for me, I mean, you made me think there, Dave, because it made me think back to actually the thing I'm proudest of was persuading the chair of the Oxford Entrepreneurs Society student to not take a UBS summer placement that would have effectively given him a down payment on a mortgage and come and take a chance on us. And this guy was brilliant. And he was our first ever grad, a guy called Ollie, who then went on to set up a shaving subscription business called Cornerstone. And he worked with us. We got him for 3.5 years. But just the notion of being able to, I basically blagged him. I said, listen, we'll cover some of your tuition fees for 3 years if you come and take a chance on us. And he did. And then he came back and worked with us. And I think that it was known that if you could persuade somebody from one of the best unis in the country to take a chance on a startup, then that for me was, we had something.
Absolutely amazing. I know Cornerstone. Wow. What lovely. I love that your stories are human stories as well as client stories. I think that permeates. I think that's beautiful. One thing that's interesting actually, obviously with the awards is the sort of fame part of the awards. And for those from Happn, we at What If won an award this year just gone for our work on Lloyds. We won kind of a best consultancy at the business consultancy awards. Is that the name, Matt? Business
That's
transformation.
Right, yeah.
And it sent ripples through our business of kind of excitement and joy. And I think one thing when I talk to our people about what we're really excited about with Accenture, and kind of one of the reasons for the acquisition was the platform to help make us more famous. We should all be much more famous than we actually are, because I think we spend more time doing the work on ourselves. And actually, I'm really excited about the potential for more fame over the next couple of years, together with the weight of Accenture behind us, knowing what different things we need to apply for. So let's win a couple more of those awards. All right, we've just got 5 minutes left. So I would love to kind of close this one up. We've gone from pride. Let's hear about when it all just got a bit weird, bit dicey, bit treacly, maybe a bit challenging. Just, you know, you always hear that founder journeys out the other side, they're bright, but there are those moments of kind of twists and turns. So yeah, tell me about maybe your weirdest or your hardest moment, whatever resonates more with you individually.
I can have a crack at that. First off, Emma, I'd say I was going to talk about client losses, but you always bounce there, although they're awful at the time. And you literally feel like you've been shot in the face when you lose a piece of client work. You bounce back, and you've got great what ifers to help you bounce back and stuff like that. But I think the worst times are, I think they're with other people at What If, when you should have helped them out, or you should have shown some love a bit earlier, and you realize you've let it go on for a bit too long. So, you know, sometimes people, I mean, I believe people should have exciting and varied careers. You know, they should try a lot of different things. And I think sometimes at What If, from my perspective, maybe I should have said to people a bit earlier, or some people a bit earlier, why don't you try and do this, or try and do this, or here's some feedback, which is tough feedback. And actually, whenever you do that, it might be a bit difficult to do to begin with, but actually, if you mean it with love, it's fine doing it. What's worse, and what's really inexcusable, is if you don't do it. If you walk past that kind of tough feedback and you realize, like a week or a month or a year later, that you should have done it, because you could have influenced somebody and helped somebody a little bit. So I'm not saying that happens a lot, but there are sometimes I do regret my career where I wished I'd been a bit more sort of brutal, but to be kind, really, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, and I'm actually really pleased you said that, Max. It's an area that we're talking a lot about at the moment, because I think we all have a real opportunity to level up around, we sort of say we're quite honest with each other, but we're not really, because it's quite challenging. But ultimately, it's what powers our business, with our human, to make our humans better. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so is it weirdness or is it regrets? I personally don't have really. In hindsight, everything is easy, of course. I connect to the point Matt made of indeed maybe seeing some people be unhappy or even leave the business for the wrong reasons. Of course, like any business, we've had a couple of those. Weird moments. I mean, if it's I struggle a little bit with weird because I've had some very fun odd nights, for example, after client work, and there's a lot of weirdness to go around. We could probably have a whole podcast on strange things that happen after hours when you're out with clients. I must say I have, and this is maybe also to just express how this whole, let's say, the what if world, it fascinates me, is because we have worked with similar clients as you have over the years, but because of sort of our, let's say, spin on innovation, we've never gone into work and challenged the framework which they work. We've never challenged their dysfunctionality. Which you often come against. We've always worked with it and not really bothered too much. But I guess I have been fascinated over the past 12 years seeing some of these businesses from the inside and just being, I find it almost weird they get anything to market. and in the way they're structured, the way they're organized, and the way our direct counterparts within clients just have to work their way around systems, which are clearly not optimized to deliver what they're trying to do. So in that sense, it's maybe not exactly weird, but I find it surprising to see indeed how some of our clients have to work on a day-by-day business, day-by-day life, just to get stuff done. And it's going to be interesting seeing how close up how you actually help challenge that and help redesign it and rethink it.
Excellent. Thank you, Costas. Dave, Mark, I know we're nearly at time, but if you have
time. I'm happy to go, yeah, if that's all right, Dave. There are, there are some regrets, and then there are some things that probably would have been happy for them not to have happened. When you edit this, Emma, I'll share with them after this podcast. There's one in particular that's a cracking story, but it's not one to share that I had to experience. But
you've now created the intrigue in everyone, Mark. They're going to want to know that they can go.
Yeah, it's a really good story, but it needs to have a drink in your hand to share it. Certainly, and it's a bit early, frankly. I assume you are going to edit this. So my one regret is actually, it's an interesting one, Matt. I think, you know, we had this value of care, and actually I think we have wrestled with that value over the years of what does care really mean. And, you know, one of the things I shared with Emma about assuming positive intent in what you do was a thing that was kind of how we turned up, if you like. And sometimes thinking like you're caring for others, your teammates, your colleagues, etc. doesn't necessarily always play out, because you're not sharing some of the things that actually could liberate them and enable them to explore other avenues. So I empathize greatly with what you said there, Matt. And I'll share the other story for another time.
All right, we look forward to it.
Yeah. I'll go biggest business regret without a doubt is the day Dave and Matt missed the internet. We had this moment in very early in our life where two lads turned up, and they were fresh out of university, very geeky, sort of started talking to us about the internet and what they could do. And, you know, it was really interesting. Matt and Mai's reaction was, nice to meet you guys, sounds really good, but, you know, not for us. And it was... And it was a real lesson in life, because essentially there were two things. One is, we thought we did the right thing because we were sticking and we were focusing on what we were doing. And there's all sorts of arguments for saying that that was a good thing. But on the other hand, what we had done is we put our heads in the sand and we had not really looked at what was in front of us. And because they weren't like us and these people had different capabilities, different skills, looked at the world a different way, we sort of just let them walk by. And, you know, the bottom line is, not building technology into the heart of our business at any point in our journey was a real miss for us as innovators. I mean, it really, you know, a terrible miss. And I think as a result, we did some other brilliant things, but we really, really missed that big time. And in a way, the sort of the result of that is we're now with Accenture because we lacked those skills and we lacked that ability to operate in the world of technology. And so I suppose it would be a message to us all, which is diversity, and the diversity is going to be really bloody important in the next phase of all our lives in Accenture. And the ability to embrace other points of view, to look at it from their hands, to work out how we work together, to work in this new way with what sometimes is a mind-bogglingly large number of people is tricky and tough. But what I'd say is it's worth it. And, you know, I think our job now is to sort of to build the sort of our part and the Accenture of the future that we can really influence. And it's going to mean embracing things unlike Matt and I did a long time ago, you know, now. And so I think that's a really important thing, that we learn to embrace and use our skills to try some of these new things and keep the spirit of adventure within a large organization and not create a sort of a them and us culture, but to create an in it together and bring the best of who we are culture. So there you go.
I thought you were going to say you sent Mark Zuckerberg on his way.
not quite. Sounds close. Dave, that was the perfect sentiment for us to close out this podcast, and as a tasty trailer for our third episode, which will be focusing more on our kind of hopes and beliefs for what the future has in hold for us as a joint company. Thank you so much to all of you imparting pearls of wisdom in these stories that I'm sure all of us will take forward as well as enjoying. Speak to you next time.